See you later.
All right. Terrific. Great to see everybody. Here we go. Rolling into the day of Chassidus. Now, I'm going to try and make the most of the Zoom tools over here. Usually when I get in front of a class, you have to have printouts, handouts, and that kind of stuff. The fact that you can share screens is astounding. I love it. So we're going to be jumping into this. We're going to be doing a little bit of multimedia. Chaim, you have the waiting room. I'm not going to pay attention anymore to those things popping up on the bottom over there. So let's get rocking and rolling. Just as a little bit of background, we have to remember that every time we talk about something in Chassidus, it's always an emphasis on something that already exists in Torah, and we're talking about it being revived. We're not talking about anything completely new out of the blue, things I never heard about in Klal Yisrael. Everything is always something that was here, and the question is a question of emphasis. And when each generation needs that kind of boost, is when the rebbes would step in and offer this to people. So here we go. We're going to go with the screen share. We're going to have three stories, and with them, three lessons. And I believe all of these lessons are core to what's going to happen on Shavuos and really for the rest of our lives. So here it goes. Make sure I'm doing this right. You guys got that? Great. Excellent. So the first of the stories over here, we're just going to pound. We're just going to move straight through. Please, you feel free to unmute yourselves and ask questions and interrupt. I have Chaim over there making sure everything else is going running smoothly. The first of the three stories is, the first two stories are both going to be about preparation for Shavuos, the night of Shavuos, and then the third story is somewhere else, but it's really probably the most applicable of anything we got going on in any of these things. So the first story is a story about the Rejiner. So the Rebbe Rejin, we saw Friedman Rejin, and he had a Friday, a tish on Shavuos night. He had, of course, all of his Hasidim sitting around, and they were singing the night of Shavuos, and they were eating, and they were discussing Torah topics, and one of the Hasidim at the table was relatively new. And he's sitting there, I'm like, what's going on? Why am I sitting at this table of people sitting and eating when I'm supposed to be doing the Tikkun Leil Shavuos? Tikkun Leil Shavuos is the book the tradition has that we go through so many different pieces of Torah Shavuot Sav, and Torah Shavuot Peh. And here I'm sitting around, and we're eating, and we're talking. How can this be Avodas Hashem? This is the way I'm preparing for Matan Torah in the morning? All night, this is what they were doing. So this was running through the young man's mind. And sensing that he was uncomfortable, the Rebbe turned to him. And he said, oh, yeah, I hear Tikkun Leil Shavuos. Is that important? You know, the letters Tikkun Leil Shavuos, they are the same Rashi Tevos, the same first three letters are that of Taruch Lefanai Shulchan, set up in front of me a table. And the guy was quieted. This young chassid, he took the message home. And the question is, what's for us? You know, we're sitting here and we're coming into Shavuos and we're coming into Torah, and we have a tendency to think of things kind of bifurcated, that when we have one thing is when we eat and we drink and we enjoy with friends, and we have something else entirely that when we're in shul and we're davening or we're learning, or this year when we're home and we're davening and we're learning, two completely separate directions. And for somebody to tell you that, no, that learning that you're doing and that time also that you're sitting with friends and you're schmoozing can both be holy is something completely new to us. So the core of the concept that the Rejina was imparting over here, I think is summarized by this beautiful piece. This piece is in the Sivu Shalosh, brings us down. It's brought down many Svarim. We actually say these words every morning. The last phrase over here, Mala Ha'aretz Kinyanecha, every morning in Shacharis. And this is the core of what the concept is about. We're so used to reading the verse exactly how it's translated here in English. Mara Masecha Hashem Kulam Chachma, Mala Ha'aretz Kinyanecha. The world is full of what you possess, God. Your possessions. But the Hasidish read is, the world is full of kinyanecha, ways to acquire you, Hashem. Because the deep, deep concept in the Hasidus brought out, and the Hasidus reminded us, and comes from the Zohar, is there is no place in the world which is free of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's absolutely nothing that you say about Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman would sit for hours, and he would talk to all kinds of people. He'd talk about sports. He'd talk about weather. He'd talk about business. He'd talk about wars. And then he would sit for hours, he'd sit, and then he'd turn around and he would take every piece of conversation that they had discussed in the past number of hours, and he would tie it into a Torah, into the most awe-inspiring Torah. So if you ever open up the piece of Malkut HaMaran, you'll see he intertwines everything. He'll talk about, you know, the sun coming up and what that has to do with what's going on in your neshama and what's going on with your emunah. Fabulous things, because there's no place in the world, this first lesson, there's no place in the world that doesn't have a Kodesh Baruch Hu in it. And it's brought up very beautifully. You could just read it in Hebrew and English over here from Rav Kook. He says, "Kamoshiyeshna tzotzos bechila," just like there are sparks and things like this for granted and eating. So to in every action a man takes. Anything you hear, you anything you say, sometimes the most distant things come up and they're carried to the heights of Torah. All for the sake of them weighing out holiness. Rav Kook, who brought Chassidus into Israel, into modern days, he understood this so clearly. This was his worldview. And like we said, it's summarized really in the Zohar. There's no place it doesn't have a God. That means when you have a l'chaim, chaim, when you have a l'chaim, it's going to be with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You have a l'chaim with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When a person takes a bite of food, when a person can sit with his friends, and this is the Rishon saying, where is a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Where is God? He's in everything. There's no such thing as a part which other than Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's much greater than our world. They speak about, you know, if you go into these depths, but pantheism versus panentheism. A person is believing that the whole world, all nature is what makes up God, or believing that the entire nature is just inside of God. That's lesson number one. There's nothing we can do. And we're going into Shavuos, which the emphasis is that you're supposed to also have, the Gemara says, every degrees on Shavuos, you're supposed to enjoy life also. You're supposed to have good food. You have to have machlokis by all the other chagim. But when it comes to Shavuos, that's not true. Lesson number one. I think we're good on schedule, 9 minutes per lesson. Any questions on this? Are we good? I'm going to keep on going unless somebody says, Alan, unless you stop me, I'm going to keep on going. Okay, here it goes. So lesson number two, this is a fabulous lesson. This is this Rebbe is actually the first time I ever heard of the Rebbe when I saw this story. It was the first time I heard of this Rebbe. But lesson number two is also, we're really talking about a game changer. This one's also about preparation. So the story goes like this. They're also sitting by the night of Shavuos when usually the Rebbe, even though we said that they're sitting around the table, but the Rebbe would say Torah. The Rebbe would sit at the head, he'd have a tish, and he'd say, it's Zog Torah. So everybody turned expectantly to Reb Shlomo Leib of Linshna, and he said to him, Rebbe, well, knew what's, is Rebbe going to say some Torah? And he said, I have a tradition for my Rebbe, the Yid HaKadosh. I have a tradition for my Rebbe, that on night of Shavuos, paradoxically, we don't say any Torah. We don't say any Torah on the night of Shavuos. He says, what? Why wouldn't you say any Torah on the night of Shavuos? He says, God is going to give the whole Torah in the morning. In a couple hours, God is going to give the whole Torah. You're going to have Torah from God. You need it from me. Derech Eretz Kadam on the Torah. It's not Derech Eretz for a student to step up before his Rebbe's about to give a shir, and he gives a shir. Derech Eretz Kadam on the Torah. So Derech Eretz Kadam on the Torah is going to tell you that now you don't give Torah tonight. There's no Torah by the night of Shavuos. So then he continues. So what are we supposed to be doing? What are we doing up tonight? What is the whole avoda? Whether it's through a shir or whether it's something else, what is the whole avoda of the night? And he says the avoda of the night is to do preparation for Torah. And with that, he started talking about how there was lightning and thunder and the whole Ma'amad Har Sinai, the whole experience of Har Sinai, and his eyes went ablaze, and he started trembling, literally trembling, as he spoke about it. And they had to take him from the table. He collapsed. They took him from the table. They put him in bed. And they came back a couple hours later. So this is another core concept in Chassidus. And that's the topic of Hachana. Preparation. I know myself. You know, when I have, you know, I have to be at a meeting at 9 o'clock. And I start davening at 8:35. I'm in trouble. You know, I don't have time to say, to focus on a word on what I'm doing. Okay, even if when I'm in this zone, even if I could do it. But there's no space in my mind. And preparation isn't something new, right? Everybody here are professionals. Everybody knows this is probably one of the most famous quotes. Have people heard this one from Ben Franklin? Chaim, you heard this one? Awesome. By failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail. And that's the secular approach to preparation. But the Jewish approach to preparation, while it's true, they go a step deeper because we have a problem. Says the Gemara in Brachos, Amar Rabbi Lazar, La'olam yimod adam asu. The person should always assess himself. evaluate himself. If he could pay attention when he davens, you follow. Go ahead and daven. If you can't pay attention, if you're not going to be able to be on focus, don't. The core concept. Why? A person shouldn't daven? And of course, we know that the Vilna Gaon and everybody who came against the Hasidim, even today, people are very critical of the Hasidim because they daven so late into the day. You know, we know that Chabad davens at 10 o'clock. What, Chaim, Mike, Barry, do you know what Hasidim are doing until 10 o'clock in the morning, what Chabad is doing until 10 o'clock in the morning? I don't know if you see it. I've been in the mikvahs at 6:30 in the morning on the Shabbos morning, and all these Chabad kids are running around. You know, they're packing the mikvahs at 6:30 in the morning on the Shabbos morning, when most of us are getting a little bit of menucha, Shabbos menucha. The hachana, the concept of hachana, of preparation, of preparing one's mind to anything I come to Kedusha. When I put on my talis, there's the yivatzim. If we take a minute to do that, then we're doing worlds. Or preparation of any aspect of Kedusha is central to Avodas Hashem. And I think that the reason is, why is it so? The reason is exactly the next line. I'm going to put another story. I said only three stories, but this isn't such a Hasidic story. So the Gemara over here says very clearly, Hakol b'dei Shemayim, one of the most famous statements from Rabbi Chanina, Hakol b'dei Shemayim, chutz mi Hashemayim. Everything is in Hashem's hand except for fear, awareness, cognizance of Hashem, of heaven. Fabulous story. There's an old man who has a pair of tefillin that he had from his father, and the great-grandfather was this huge Hasidic rebbe. And this old man, he's in his 80s. He's been wearing this for 70 years. He's so proud of his tefillin. He puts it on with so much love and care every day. And everybody knows this is the tefillin of this Hasidic rebbe. One day, as usual, he takes his tefillin and he puts it on the bima. And he goes out, he's going to the, he leaves him every day. And he's going out, he's going to come back in a couple hours later. He's an old man, he's retired, but he's going to sit and learn. So he said the tefillin is sitting down the bima, and by the next minion, somebody comes in. He says, "I'm doing chesed for everybody over here. Anybody wants me to check their tefillin, I'll check your tefillin for free. Just put them on the bima." Okay, some people put, some people don't. Of course, this old man's tefillin was already sitting on the bima, and he was gone. He didn't realize. So comes back a couple hours later, and this was the first pair of tefillin the checker opened. He opened them up, and he found there's a whole word was missing from the tefillin. Completely puzzled. It was for generations, somebody's been putting on tefillin over here that weren't kosher. Okay, the end of that story is that the old man, you know, everybody's afraid to tell him the story, to tell him what happened, but they all saw looks on his faces and everybody's looking at him. He said, what went on? And they told him what happened and he started dancing. He said, "Oh, I'm so happy." He ran out, grabbed a bottle of schnapps, came back and he said, "If you guys hadn't told me, I would have never put tefillin on in my life. Now I get to put tefillin on." But what's the point of this story for us? Beautiful, beautiful perspective from his perspective. But what's the story for us? The story for us is, the point, is that you can't decide whether you do a mitzvah or not. We have no choice. A person lived his whole life, and his father lived his whole life, and his grandfather lived his whole life, without ever putting on tefillin. The saddest thing in the world. But that's us. You never know whether or not you're going to be able to do mitzvah. The only thing you have is your heart, your mind, your preparation. The only thing a person has is his Yiras Shamayim, is his cognizance of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So for a chassid to say the most important thing is my preparation, is my mind space, is my cognizance of Hashem, it makes a lot of sense. It makes tremendous sense. If I can't daven, if I can't be mechaven, I don't have a tefillah at all. Okay, we can get into the nefet. There's arguments around these things. But if you're looking for a core of chassidus and something that we can take home, is to understand that our mind space, everybody's into mindfulness right now, but our mind space is the most important piece because that's all we can offer Hashem. Very famously, the Zohar says, and the Gemara also brings the same thing, Rachmana liba boy. What Hashem wants is your heart. Ela kadosh baruch hu liba boy. Hashem wants Rachmana, which is another name for Hashem, for the Torah, is he just wants a heart. So that's lesson number two. Lesson number three, and okay, we're doing pretty good over here. Lesson number three is a story you may have heard from me before, but it's got to be one of my all-time favorites. And this one doesn't happen on Shavuos, but it might as well have. This is with the Chos of Lublin. The Chos of Lublin, he had thousands of students who came to him every Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And one Yid sitting in the back, Moshe, what does he do? And if you look in historically, and this fabulous book, I'm sure everybody here has read it. Alan, I've spoken to Alan about this before. He has a book. He recommended it to me also. Paul Johnson's History of the Jews. You know, so the way it used to work, you got to see it. It's a 600-page book written by a Christian fellow. And it's given me chizik in my emunah. Okay, he gets some things wrong. You know, he doesn't get everything right, but he gets tremendous chizik in my emunah just from seeing the historical perspective of everything going on with Abraham and Yitzhak and those times in history gave me a lot of chizik. But he talks about our times in Europe, and it was normal in Europe for a Jew to get up. And I know there are some businessmen here who fly internationally, and they know what this is like. You know, they catch a flight a couple hours after Shabbos, and they don't come back till a couple hours before Shabbos. The whole week they're gone. But then it was a guy who was getting on the flight. He was dragging a cart of metal pots and pans, of knickknacks, of what he'd go from village to village to village, little village, selling things to the non-Jews and to other Jews and other. And he would literally get back 2 hours before Shabbos, gasping the whole time, running, walking miles and miles and miles and schlepping. And it's just, so this fellow, Moshe, that's what he did. He was a peddler. Every Sunday morning, he'd get out and he'd come back right before Shabbos every week. And he made 10 ruble every week. And that's how much he needed to live. Thank God. So he turns to Hashem on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I love you tremendously. You know, I make 10 ruble. I'm so grateful. You know what, Hashem? I will cut down on my expenses. Whatever I need to do. Just do me a favor. Give me 8 ruble. But don't make me run till I have Shabbos. Let me come home on Wednesday, and then I'll have 2 days to sit and learn. I'll daven like a mensch. I can learn like a mensch. I can spend some time on my avodas Hashem. Beautiful tefillah, right? I wish that was my tefillah. You know? Give me less parnasa kodesh baruch. I don't mind, but give it to me early so I can do your avodas. So I can serve Hashem with my whole heart. Says. So the whole Rosh Hashanah goes by like this. This is his tefillah at the end of Rosh Hashanah. Everybody comes by the chozer of Lublin. And they turn to him and they say, and they wish him a good year. And he stops this man. The Chozer Lublin stops this man. And he says, I want to let you know that your tefillos, this Rosh Hashanah, what can I say? The angels were laughing. Laughing? What were they laughing? They should be crying from joy. He says, no, they were laughing. You think Hashem needs your 2 rubles? You're making 10, now you're going to make 8. He could save 2 rubles if he does you this deal, if he gets you the money early. God needs your 2 rubles. Hashem is missing rubles. That's number one. And number two, and this is the point for us, maybe, the most precious thing in the world to Hashem, much more than you're sitting and you're dabbling and learning in a base medrash somewhere, is that when you're squeezed in between running here and running there, you get to squeeze in a little Tehillim. Or you get even your mincha and your mariv that you say when you're exhausted, you're about to collapse into bed. You know, davening mincha right before shkia and davening mariv right before you collapse. And shachris, quickly putting on and off your tefillin while you're running. Maybe that's the most precious thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Maybe that's squeezing in that little bit of dark light. When it's so dark in the world, maybe that's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Famous medrash Tanchuma. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman b'shash HaKadosh Baruch Hu es ha'olam. Rav Nachman said, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, there's only one thing he wanted. He wanted to have some space in this world like he has in Shemaim. He wants a place for a person to be able to squeeze a HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this black part, and to squeeze a HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this darkness, and to squeeze a HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this other place. That's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. So, you know, we can, you know, I think all three of these, this is the third concept. The third concept being that we have to give credit. We have to understand that even in the places where, you know, I barely got a daven mincha. It's famous that the Magid used to say that when he wants to daven, he said that the most precious thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is somebody right before Shkia barely chapping a mincha. We don't appreciate every little bit that we put into our Avodas Hashem. Yeah, we think that, no, I didn't do well here, I didn't do well. We have to be machshav these things. We have to understand how important these things are. Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. And I think all three of these messages, they center around one teaching from the Baal Shem Tov. And this is Baal Shem Tov Yartzeh coming up. So I think all three of them really come back to this concept. And the concept is, this is from the Baal Shem Tov very famously, Heichin Shemachshavta Shel Adam Nimsa, the place where your mind is, which is going to connect to all three of our concepts. It's going to connect to the concept of of that when you're sitting and eating, you can also be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's going to be connected to the concept of doing preparation, getting your mind in the right place. And it can be connected to the concept of every little time that you can squeeze in a little bit of Hashem. You should know how precious that is to Hashem. It's all tied in this. Hichin shmach shavtei shel Adam nimsa, the place where a person's mind is found, sham hu kuloi. That is a person's entirety. And Reb Nachman, his grandson, says the same exact same concept. Ki ikra Adam hu haseichel, the man is all about where his mind is. It's all about his intellect. Val kein. Therefore, bimkom shechoshev v'seichel, the place where his mind is, sham kol ha'adam. A person could be sitting at a table with chaverim, and he could be drinking l'chaim, and he could be with Hashem. And a person prepares himself before he goes into real davening, and that's also. A Kadosh Baruch Hu says, that's entirely where a person is. A person is entirely in that place. And the same thing, and the last scenario, when a person could be squeezed in between this thing and that thing, and he feels like, you know, what has he done? And it's not true. Sham kol adam. The person could be in the base of Mikdash in 3 seconds. A person could be in the most holy place in the world in 3 seconds. As we're coming into Shavuos, this I think is all three critical messages. We take them home. We can uncover Kedusha in the most simple, basic places in our lives. We take time to focus our mind and our hearts when approaching the Kodesh Hashem. And of course, even a little bit of holiness goes the longest way. That's all the Kodesh Baruch was asking for. This is our message. We're coming into Shavuos, and the Shavuos is the time when we're supposed to also enjoy our Sudas. And it's the time when we have real time. You believe it? There's no other holiday that we have 7 weeks of preparation for. Even people who prepare for Pesach, okay, the wives kick out all the food, you know, by Purim, it's already there. But 7 weeks? 7 weeks of preparation for a one-day holiday? Unheard of. Absolutely unheard of. It's all about preparation, and it's all about also engaging the physicality in everything you want to do. And we're going to be sitting up a night of, I think there's going to be a harder year than most. Most people get to sit up most of the night or all of the night on a regular Shavuos, and this year it's going to be harder. We have to remember every little bit we put into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the sweetest thing in the world. All we're looking to do is to bring one more spark of Kedusha into the world. We should be Zocha together. We should be Zocha this year and every year in Bez Hashem. You know, Hashem could change things in a moment, even though, you know, it's very hard for us to understand. We could all be sitting in Shul together if we wanted to, in Yerushalayim, on Shavuos, the whole Shavuos night. We should be Zocha. But in the meantime, let's take these lessons with us. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody in person as soon as that things ease up. Chaim, that means you, Mike, Dube, oh, Mrs. Glickman, great, Barry, Alan, very good. I'm looking forward. Have a great one.